Father, we bless you and praise your name. You're worthy of all praise. And Father, we are reminded again this day of how little that we know and understand of thy way. How imperfect, O Lord, is our understanding. And yet, Lord, we are confident that you shall teach us such things as you would have us know. And in that we rest, O Lord, cleaving unto thee and desiring to go to no other for help. For Lord, thou art our help, our hope, and our comfort in the midst of the troubles that we have in this world. And we wait upon you, Lord, knowing that if you do not lead us, we shall not be led. And Lord, knowing that if we follow the leading of men, we shall be led astray. But, O Lord, if we follow thee, then there is no error that can befall our way. Lord, give us grace, for we have not the strength to do so in ourselves. Praise you and ask you, Lord, to bless your word in Jesus' name. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have his name. Amen. All right, Psalm 132 says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon the throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it, for his hath ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. And in this psalm, begins with David's desire, David's resolve, David's burning will to build a house unto the Lord. I don't doubt David's sincerity in the least bit, but David never did that. He wanted to, and he wanted to, I believe, out of a pure heart. But he never did it. Now, one of the things that we find in the Scripture that is actually revealed so very plainly that it's hard to see when a man has been given eyes to see it, how it is that men cannot see it. And yet, it's a thing that's hidden. Now, David wanted to build a house unto the Lord. And yet, in the manner in which David wanted to build the house, he was never let to do it. He died before it was accomplished. But yet, it was the purpose of God that the house of David would be blessed. And it was the purpose of God that the son of David would sit upon the throne of Israel forever. Now David assumed that was Solomon. He sincerely believed it was Solomon. You read the Psalms that he wrote and the blessings that he breathed out for Solomon. But it was not the purpose of God. Because God will show His people that the blessing that comes from His hand comes from His hand. It can't be gathered by men. It can't be willed by men. It can't be earned by men, for sure. Regardless of how sincere they may be. And there is a contrast in this psalm between the old covenant and the new. David, his desire was that which was under the old covenant. How do I know that? Well, let's look right here in verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon the throne. Now the Lord made that promise to David. And there is a measure in which that promise was made in the flesh. But just like all things in the law and under the law, as they were given in the law of Moses, all of the promises in the law of Moses are conditional. Do this and you shall live. And that's what he says right here. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. This wasn't a lie. The Lord never tells lies. He always tells the truth. And He said this, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. David said, I'm going to do everything I can to build the house of God, but it was not God's purpose. He said, if thy children shall keep my covenant, they shall sit upon the throne forever. But two generations, one generation passed. Solomon built a temple, temples unto false gods. And his heart, the scripture says, was turned aside. Now all of the promises that are come in Moses are conditional. And that's the reason why they cannot bring blessing to the children of God. The scripture says because the law was weak, not because there's something wrong with the law, but the law's weak, what? In the flesh. Now, did that take God by surprise and was He disappointed? Not at all. Because He wouldn't have men to believe that they can somehow or other obtain a blessing upon any other basis than the free and pure grace of Almighty God to give it according to the good pleasure of His will. And so there's nothing conditional about the promises of God that are brought to the people of God. And He spoke about it over in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Which my covenant, what? They break. It was a pure covenant. It was a true thing. God said, do these things and you shall live. But He said they didn't do it. Which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Couldn't blame the Lord. He said, I loved you because not because you were more than any other people on earth, but because you were less. He said, I was with you. I committed to you the oracles of God. The prophets of God came to the house of Israel. They didn't come to the Gentiles. They didn't go to Philistines. They didn't go to the Amalekites. God didn't see fit to set up shop in the camp of the Perizzites. But He came to the Israelites. And He gave them a blessed covenant, as some would look at it. But they broke it. Now again, like I say, this didn't take the Lord by surprise because, dear brethren, the covenant of promise precedes the covenant of law. The covenant of promise was given unto Eve in the Garden of Eden. Actually, the covenant of promise was given before that, but it was revealed unto men at that point in time when He said that you shall bring forth a son. And He's going to bruise Satan's head. There was a promise that preceded all other things. But dear brethren, the covenant which we preach in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a covenant not made between God and men. But it's a covenant made between the Father and the Son. And He said, not unto seeds as of many, when He spake to Abraham, but unto seeds as of one, even Jesus Christ. Because it is in Jesus Christ that all of the people of God scattered throughout all the world, those blessings come. That's what He says here. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. He goes on to say the surety of this. He says, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, what ordinances? The ones He gave. The promises that He set forth. He said, if this fails, if those ordinances fail from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease being a nation from before me forever. Now, what was the nation of Israel that these promises were made to? Was it the offspring of Abraham? Of Jacob? No, it was that nation which was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's the true Israel of God. That's the one who shall not pass away. That generation shall dwell forever in the presence of the Lord, because that's the purpose of God as He sets it forth here before us. A covenant that is sure because it's built upon what? Better promises. If I tell you I'll bless you as long as you do something, but you don't have the power to do it, that can't last very long, can it? But if I say I'm going to bless you because I'm going to bless you because it seems good in my sight, and I have the power to carry it out, then it'll never pass away. And so such is that promise that's given to the people of God. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast out all the seed of Israel for all they have done, saith the Lord. If these things can be numbered, if it can be measured, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hanameel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill Gerib, and shall compass about to Goath. He goes on in chapter 33. Says, thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man, without inhabitant, without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. For His mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of God. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at first, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to restore those things that were taken away. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and in the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Now, is the Lord... Can you imagine in your mind that the Lord's saying He's going to erect a temple in the future and cause the Levites to come up once again and go and offer sacrifices, blood sacrifices? Now, what would be the point of that? Because Jesus Christ has come to perform that which God promised that He would do to redeem the house of Israel. And He has accomplished that. And He most certainly will not take that which is in part and replace that which is perfect. Because when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. And so what He speaks about here is the fact that all of the fulfillment of the law in every jot and tittle is performed in Jesus Christ forever. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. And you could just go on reading there. That's a glorious passage of Scripture. But dear brethren, the promises of God are yea and amen. They are not maybe. Now why is this important? Well, let's go to what Brother Al was sharing this morning and concerning how the Jews looked at the law. Now there were indeed in the early days of the church, even as there are perhaps some in the present time, who come out of Judaism and they have a desire unto the law of God. Now keep in mind that every Jew's desire unto the law of God is imperfect. Because men always pick and choose what part of the law they'll keep. Circumcision's an easy one because you can see that. So a man can say, oh, I'm a follower of the law because I circumcised all my sons. I'm circumcised myself, so I've kept the law. What a foolish thing. That's not keeping the law. And you see, that's what the Lord came teaching. And that's what Paul taught in the book of Galatians, that you don't keep the law by doing these things. Now to him it was an insignificant matter. As Brother Al ably pointed out, I mean, he didn't care if a man was circumcised or not circumcised. If it would make his ministry where he could come into the presence of a Jew to preach the gospel to them, by being circumcised, he said, I'll be circumcised. You know, it don't matter to me, circumcision or not circumcision. But you see, those who would be law keepers are not content to keep the law themselves. And here's the problem with the law and the flesh. Those that would be what they call law keepers are never content to keep the law. What they're wanting is for you to keep the law. You see, because they feel like that if they got to do it, you ought to have to do it too. Now, if a man wants to follow the Mosaic Ten Commandments, I say welcome to it. If you want to follow every jot and tittle of all of that law, I say welcome to it. I'm certainly not a won't fight you if you're going to do it. But I'll tell you this, if you're a child of grace, you will come to the place at some point in time where you will throw up your hands and say, we can't do it. Do you see, that's the whole purpose of the giving of the law, is to reveal sin. And so when a man boasts of keeping the law, he is ignorant of grace. He's ignorant of what he is by nature. When a man says, well, we believe in keeping the law. Well, I'm certainly not opposed to keeping the law, but I certainly don't believe that I keep the law. I don't know anybody I've ever met that did keep the law. So what law are you going to keep? Because that law that men boast of keeping is one that allows no error. If one jot or one tittle of it is broken, Paul said, it's as though all of it's broken. You can't pick and choose what part of it. Now, one of the biggest errors and the greatest burdens that are laid upon the people of God are laid upon them by well-meaning men who have no understanding of the grace of God in truth. Now, a man can be a Calvinist and preach the 5 points of Calvinism and yet be in total darkness as to the conditional or the unconditional nature of the promises of God. Now, I've heard some preaching here just this past week that was great insofar as declaring that Christ is the Savior of sinners. But then it goes back and tries to incorporate trying to get people to do something. And lays burdens upon them that they cannot bear, because it would say that the promises of God, oh, now you've come to know the Lord, you've been saved by grace, but now if you want to be blessed by God, you've got to walk in obedience. Now, should the children of God walk in obedience? Absolutely. Do we preach that God's people are to obey the Lord? Absolutely. You better obey the Lord. You better do what He said to do. But brethren, to stand and tell people that it's upon this basis that the blessings of God come upon people is to depart from the gospel. Because the gospel is a message of the unconditional grace of God in causing men to obey Him. Because you see, obedience to the Lord is the blessing in itself. That is the blessing. See, you don't obey, oh well, all right, y'all better obey the Lord, because if you obey the Lord, He'll pour out blessings on you. No, dear brethren, He said, I'll write my laws in their heart and in their mind. You see, there's the blessing of God. There's the unconditional promise of God that those who belong to Him, He will constrain by His grace. Now, men have the notion, well, if that be true, then we're all walking in obedience. No, we're not all walking in obedience. But you see, the Lord shows us the sin of our heart when He shows us Christ. And we don't look at Christ, who is our law keeper, and say, oh yes, we're just like Him. Brother, if you ever look at Christ and say, I'm like Him, you don't see Christ. You haven't seen Christ because you're not like Him. Now, I believe this, there is beating within the heart of every one of those born-again children of God a desire to be like Him. That's what He said, I'll write my laws upon their heart and in their mind. Paul said, oh, the good that I would, I do not. And that which I would not, that I do. He says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God that through Jesus Christ my Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. That's just the fact. That's the facts of the way that it is. And dear brethren, any man who wants the promises and blessings of God to be conditional, I say have at it, but you will be without any blessing whatsoever if you would ever believe that your blessings come to you because of something you've done or avoided or vice versa. Because the blessings of God are without repentance. The blessings of God come upon the people of God according as the purpose of God as He sees fit to bestow them. And oh, the greatest lament of those in whom the Spirit of God dwells is that they are not more like Jesus Christ. I believe that's true. And if you have no desire to be like Christ, then I have no reason to believe that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You don't have any reason to believe it. I mean, you can join up, you can do all sorts of things, but dear brethren, when God, who's rich in mercy, manifests the nature of His promise, He constrains the people of God to look to Christ. They can't look to anybody else. Peter said, Lord, who could we go to? Though I fall 1,000 times, who's that one that I must come back to? And so the promises of God are not conditional. They're not if my children will keep my covenant and my testimony. And we harp on one another, all y'all, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. It won't produce one thing but misery. But oh, when free grace is preached and God's people see that it is strictly according to the good pleasure of Almighty God that they had anything, then oh, their hearts will be humble before Him. I believe that to be true. If I could somehow or other get you to walk in a closer walk with the Lord by teaching you how to do it, I'd do it. You know, you can find 100 books that teach you how to walk closer with the Lord. They don't know a thing in the world about what they're talking about. I'm not saying there's not good things in those books. But I'm telling you this, if you buy the book thinking you're going to find some revelation that's going to, all of a sudden you're going to figure it out, that's not going to happen. Or that somebody has the key. Nobody has the key. Christ is the key. Christ is the righteousness of His people. He's the fulfillment of the promises of God to His people. And the promises of God to His people are not conditional. But they're yea and amen. He said, I will bless these people. What did He say here? He said, I will clothe her priests with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. He didn't say, oh, I hope they'll shout aloud for joy. If they'll just shout aloud for joy, why, I'll bless them. Don't you know that's how to get God to bless you? Start praising Him? No! When men praise Him, that is the blessing of God. When God gives men the heart to praise Him, what glory that is! That is the blessing of God. It's unconditional. It's not God responding to something you do. But it's you responding to something God does. See, there's a big difference. A big difference. And I don't care what doctrine you preach from that standpoint. You can be the straightest five-point Calvinist that ever lived, but if you're out here laying burdens on men that they can't bear, nor neither their children could bear, nor their fathers, it doesn't make any difference. If you don't understand that the blessings of God are without money and without price. Why? Because He purchased them all for us. And He said, I'm going to give them to them. There will I make the horn of David to bud, and I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. Oh, the throne of David shall not be without a king forever. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. And He shall rule and reign over that kingdom which He has called His own, that kingdom which He has come into the world to purchase, that kingdom which cannot be overturned, that kingdom which is triumphant forever, that kingdom in which the children of God shout aloud, Hosanna, praise be to the name of the Lord. Salvation belongeth to Him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Well, the King of glory has come in. And He is seated on the throne of David. And He is reigning, and He is ruling, and He is giving to His people the blessings that He purchased for them. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. There's no changing it. It can't be done. Oh, what a sweet thing. Let us be a people that rejoice in that revelation. You see, that's free grace. See, well-meaning men think that if you preach grace, even men that claim to believe in salvation by grace, I'm telling you, sometimes they're the worst ones. They believe if you don't hedge about, well, we believe we're saved by grace, but no, dear brethren, there's no buts in grace. You're saved by grace. And that grace is a work for us, and it's a work in us. Because you see, the sure mercies of David come to us through Christ, who said these words, "And I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send my Spirit that He may guide you into all truth." And here, brethren, that's a blessing. Not all men are privileged to receive it. Not all men are privileged to see it in clarity. But oh, what a glory. What a sweet and blessed thing it is to know that the Lord, He is the God. And that He has promised to deliver His people from out of this dark,